Yeah, so this is, I apologize to people who have already heard my talk at Avatars Conference. This is basically going to be the same talk. It's based on work with Kumran Wafa and Albrecht Plum. So the basic consequence of mirror symmetry. So the basic consequence of mirror symmetry is agreement of topological string computations on collabial X and its mirror collabial Y. So this is well known and very well studied in the context of closed strings. In particular, mirror symmetry relates A-model amplitudes, which are given in terms of holomorphic maps of Riemann surfaces into X, and reduced accounting of holomorphic curves in X, to B-model amplitudes, which are given in terms of periods of differential forms on the mirror Y. So, in the context of deep brains, one considers topological strings on Riemann surfaces with boundaries. A topological A model admits boundaries on special Lagrangian submanifolds. The B model admits holomorphic D brains and mirror symmetry exchanges the two. So in this talk, I will describe how B model amplitudes, in particular the disk partition function, is simply computable because the theory is classical. On the other hand, mirror symmetry relates this to a highly non-trivial problem of counting of holomorphic disks ending on a mirror Lagrangian. And the numbers of those disks are the prediction of mirror symmetry. And this also turns out to be of physical interest as well, because a topological string captures holomorphic information about low energy dynamics. So in particular, the partition function on a disk computes the superpotential of the four-dimensional n equals to 1 theory. Okay, so the natural setting for A-model geometry is toric geometry, and this is related to two-dimensional linear sigma models with 2,2 supersymmetry. So, for example, take a U1 gauge theory, two-dimensional, with four chiral fields and some set of charges, Q, and no superpotential. The associated toric variety is basically a theory on the Higgs branch, which is obtained by setting D term potential to zero and dividing by G. If sum of all charges of the model is zero, the first term class of X vanishes, and the theory flows to a conformally invariant sigma model on X in the infrared. The symplectic quotient construction induces from C4 a natural metric and a Kähler form on X. And this metric and the Kähler form do not coincide with those of the conformally invariant sigma model. Not only they are not Ricci flat, but the conformal metric is not even Ricci flat, it's just asymptotically Ricci flat, and it is not related to that, to the induced metric. However, the virtue or the power of the construction is that the topological strings, with or without boundaries, are insensitive to the difference, which is the D-term variation. Okay, so geometrically, X can be viewed as a T3 vibration, where the base of the vibration is the image of the moment map, which takes x's and maps them into their absolute value squared, and this is restricted to d is equal to zero subspace. So, for example, for the small resolution of the conifold, d o minus 1 times plus o minus 1 over p1, there are two fields of charge plus 1, two of charge minus 1, and the base of the fibration is R3 plus, which is cut off by a hyperplane where X2 square vanishes. Now, the moment map forgets phases of axes. So the fiber is a torus of phases modulo G. So a generic fiber is just a T3, and over the boundaries of the base, one gets smaller fibers. In particular, over the one-dimensional edges, the fiber is just a circle. And this interior edge gives you a holomorphic P1, which is the P1 of the smaller resolution of 4 minus 1 plus 0 minus 1 over P1. Furthermore, there's one parameter here, which is from the gauge theory point of view, it's a Fadel-Laplace parameter, and the size of the P1 is linearly related to it, and this is complexified by the normal Schwarz B field, which is the theta angle of the gauge theory. So, as I said, the allowed boundaries of the E model are on Lagrangian submanifolds of X. So, again, I want to emphasize that as long as one is interested in the issues related to topological strengths, the naive, the wrong Kähler form, the induced Kähler form, is good enough. So, Lagrangian submanifolds are those on which the Kähler form vanishes, and so for our purposes, this naive induced Kähler form. So, with this, there are very many examples of Lagrangian submanifolds one can construct. And there is a particularly interesting family, which I will focus on in this talk. So the Lagrangians are given by two sets of equations, subject to D-term constraint and modulo G. So the first equation says the following. Without loss of generality, you can pick the C to lie on the boundaries of the base. And then Lagrangian is a line in the base emanating from this point. The second equation selects a T2 subspace of the fiber. Generically. So for the generic choice of this point C, the topology of the Lagrangian is R cross T2, which is basically a sum of two components corresponding to choosing theta is equal to zero, or a sum of the theta is equal to either zero or pi in here. However, if you choose C to lie on the one-dimensional edges, then the Lagrangian degenerates into two copies of C cross S1, which can then exist independently. So from now on, let's pick just one of them. So the modular space of this half Lagrangian has two components. There's the geometric component, just the position of the Lagrangian on the one-dimensional base, so it's just one-dimensional. But in string theory, it is complexified by the holonomy of the world volume gauge field around the circle. So the moduli space is one complex dimensional, and obviously it's very singular. There are no perturbative alpha prime corrections in the A model. However, there are instanton corrections, which come from holomorphic disks ending on the Lagrangian. So this gives you a natural coordinate on the moduli space, which is the size of the action of the minimal such disk. So, for example, for the Lagrangian on the figure, which is given by, which sits at x3 is x4 is equal to 0, and x absolute value of x1 squared is c1, the action of the disk is as follows. There's obviously the Wilson line, and the size of the disk is exactly equal to c1. Obviously, there are many phases to this, depending on where you put the brain, and and in the different phases, there will be different disks will dominate. So the A model amplitudes will have different weak coupling expansions. So Aghouri and Vafa predicted that A model amplitudes on Riemann surfaces with boundaries have very definite integrality properties. In particular, for the disk partition function, is conjectured to take the following form. Here, n, mk are count the numbers of primitive holomorphic disk instantons. M is the boundary class in H1 of L. The difference between the two disks in the same boundary class is a class in H2 of X. The sum over n is the sum over the multi-covers, and this is just e to the action of the disk. The direct computation of these integers is a hard mathematical problem. However, one can use mirror symmetry to relate it to a simple computation in the B model. So to do mirror symmetry, as Hori and Bafeng explained, one dualizes the phases of chiral fields in the sigma model. And the dual fields, yi, are cylinder valued, and the real part of yi is related to absolute value square of x. So with this, the D-term constraint maps to a holomorphic constraint in terms of y's. The mirror B-model theory can be thought of as a theory of variations of complex structures on a certain hypersurface, which is given as follows. Here, yi of u and v are non-trivial solutions to the holomorphic constraint. By non-trivial, I mean modulo the solution where they are all equal, which is always the solution for a Calabi-Yau manifold when sum of the charges is zero. So the generic such solution takes the following form. This bracket should be missing. And ai and bi are integers, and u and v, of course, are complex and periodic. So the mirror of the half A-brain is a holomorphic curve in Y. The curve is given by, for example, X is equal to 0. Z is arbitrary, and it's the coordinate in the world volume. And since the left-hand side vanishes, the right-hand side must as well. So also a choice of a point on this Riemann surface, which is the configuration space of the brain. So, for example, for O minus 1 plus O minus 1 over P1, the mirror is given as follows, and the B brain propagates on the associated Riemann surface, which looks like this. Okay. So the plot of A brain is just C cross S one, and there's just the Wolf line, right? And similarly, the topology of the B brain is just C. Yeah, there is a Wolf line, right? Okay, so roughly what happens is this. So the naive moduli space of the A brain, here for O minus 1 times O minus 1, over, in this example, is just this, right? And this is complexified by the Wilson line. Okay? So over every point here, there's an additional circle from the Wilson line. And in the mirror, and yeah, and furthermore, this moduli space is obviously singular because over these points where the lines meet, the circle vanishes. The mirror space of the B brain is sort of a smoothed out version of that, and it looks like this. So in particular, if you take the large radius limit, then these legs degenerate and become really, really thin because all the distances become really large. So and then the sort of the A model geometry really looks like the A-model geometry becomes classical and really looks like the quantum geometry of the B-model. Okay, so the B-model theory is classical in the sense that all amplitudes can be computed in the point particle limit. In particular, the disk partition function is just the value of the classical string field theory action. And in the case of the brain, which wraps holomorphic curve, the action is given as follows, where d of omega is the holomorphic 3-form on y. And so this is evaluated, this quotation function is evaluated over the curve that the brain wraps, which did not necessarily be homomorphic. This evaluates to the Abel-Jacobi map on the Riemann surface, which is given as follows. Here, U is regarded as a variable, and V is a solution. V is determined from the equation of the Riemann surface. Okay. You will notice that the disk partition function is not invariant under the allowed reparametrizations of the Riemann surface, which sit in SL2Z. This is because U and V are periodic variables, and so the coefficients have to be integer, and furthermore, this matrix has to be in SL2Z for the homomorphic 3 form to be preserved. So the disk partition function is not invariant, but it changes by boundary term. The choice of the boundary term can be regarded as a choice of the physical field as the one which is held fixed at infinity. Now, what? So this is just some surface term. The disk partition function is, So the partition function itself was the integral, of course, of the world volume of the brain, right? Was this. Now, it's very easy to show, starting with this, that what it reduces to is a line integral on the Riemann surface between two points, one point which is the asymptotic position of the brain at infinity, and the other point which is sort of where the brain attaches. Okay. The value of U and V at Z is equal to zero. Z is the coordinate on the world volume. Okay. So, there's an actual choice of good variable, which is imposed by mirror symmetry, and this choice depends on where the brain is. Namely, the disk partition function of the A model vanishes in the weak coupling limit, and so it is given by terms of the order of e to the action of the disk, which is in the weak coupling limit large. So this imposes an actual parameterization of the Riemann surface, where the Riemann surface is locally parameterized by V is approximately zero and U is arbitrary and large. Okay. However, it's clear that this choice is not unique, because if U and V is such a pair, that is, U is large and V is approximately zero, then U plus NV and V are also good variables for any choice of an integer N. So this is a sort of quantum ambiguity, because there is no classical reasoning which can fix this integer. So N is basically an extra data in the infrared which is needed to define the quantum theory. On the A model side, this is related to a choice of a one form on Lagrangian, which is used to deform it. And for those familiar, in the context of O minus 1 times O minus 1, so Lagrangian and O minus 1 times O minus 1 over P1, the computation of this partition function is related in duality of this theory to a large N transformers theory to computations of Wilson-Lewin operators in the transformers theory. And this has a short distance ambiguity, which is the choice of the framing of the knot. And of course, this is an integer choice. And the fact that this duality relates the infrared ambiguity, choice of a data at infinity, to an ultraviolet ambiguity in the large N transformers theory is nothing but the usual UVRR correspondence in the gauge theory of gravity duality. Okay, so so to summarize, we predict two things. One is that the B model amplitude and the A model amplitude agree. In particular, that this is the prediction. So this implies two things. One is that the disk partition function of the B model has integer expansion of the following form, And furthermore, that these integers n count the numbers of primitive holomorphic disk instantons in the appropriate phases of the A model together with the integer ambiguity. I've brushed over something very important here, and that is that these integers really count the number of numbers of BPS D4 brains, which are wrapped in corresponding homology classes, and on the D6 brain wrapping L, in the supersim context. And the fact that this is the underlying reason for the integrality of this amplitude. So this means that in order for the disk partition function to have integer expansion, the variables which appear here really have to measure the tensions of the associated BPS states. And obviously, this is not invariant at arbitrary parameterizations. So it is in those variables in which one should expand the B-model disk partition function. So the tension of the mirror domain wall is exactly computable, and it agrees with the naive notion of size in the leading order, but is corrected by instant corrections. So one of the most trivial examples, again, is this O-1 plus O-1 over P1. And suppose, for example, I put a Lagrangian somewhere in the middle here. And then the claim is that the appropriate parameterization of the Calabi-Yau is, of the mirror Calabi-Yau is as follows. You see that df by du is just v, if u is the variable. And for u of order t over 2, which means somewhere here, this is of order 1, so v really vanishes. But if you really expand it, you get a following expansion. Okay. So comparing to the predicted form of the amplitude, you see that there is one disk. There are precisely two disks which correspond to two halves of the P1, and even the Lagrangian. However, if you change the framing, you'll get many more integers. So we computed this for the following examples: the O-1 plus O-1 over P1, O-3 over P2, canonical line bundle over P1 times P1, and over F1. So, for example, for O-3 over P2, you get a following for this is for a trivial framing, and in this phase, these are the integers you get. Again, m here counts the boundary class, and k the one bulk class of the O-3 over P2, and the numbers change depending on where in which phase you sit, and all of these numbers have been verified by Eric Zaslow here and Graeber, and there are also two other groups, I guess Song and Liu at Stanford and Sheldon Katz and Melissa Liu are also computing these. What? Right, if you change the framing, the numbers, well, again, are integers, but they're different integers. It's basically a choice of a one form on the Lagrangian. So the topology of the Lagrangian is C cross S1, okay? And the statement that the B model, the field in the B model is ambiguous means that there's a choice of deformations of the Lagrangian on the A model side. And the choice of deformations is in one-to-one correspondence to the one forms on the world volume of the Lagrangian. That's what deforms it, okay? That's right. So the way people see it directly in the computations of the A model amplitudes when you do it directly as a is integral over the moduli spaces of disks, is in the closed string case, in the closed string case, there's a certain choice of the toric U1 actions on the moduli space, which where the closed string amplitudes are invariant under those, but the open string amplitudes are not, and depend on them. Okay, so as a final thing, this is also related to certain M-theory compactifications on G2 manifolds. So as a simplest example, take type 2A on X, which is topologically C3. So we can do it either directly as a or as a limit of O minus 1 plus O minus 1 over P1, and the limit where the size of the P1 goes to infinity. Okay. So so again, we consider type 2 string theory in X together with the D6 brain wrapping the Lagrangian of type seekers S1. So type 2 string theory, M theory in a circle is related to type 2 string theory. M theory on a circle times X is related to type 2 string theory in X. In this case, there's a D6 brain wrapping L, so one gets M theory, which is a non-trivial circle vibration over X, where the circle action fixes the Lagrangian, which is the D6 brain wrapped. Okay, so the only non-trivial cycle in M7 can come from the disk, which with the boundary on the Lagrangian, because this is the only non-trivial cycle in the A model, and it is easy to see that the lift of this disk is precisely in S3. Basically, the lift of the disk is locally, over every point in the disk, there is locally a circle. But over the boundaries of the disk, which are on the Lagrangian or on the six brain, the circle degenerates. So this gives you an S3. So the M7 is S3 cross R4 topologically. So clearly, type 2 string theory on this has three phases, depending on where one puts the brain. And this leads to three phases of M theory on M7, corresponding to three different ways to resolve the singularity, as discussed by Atiyah and Whitten. So this has one complex dimensional moduli space, as I discussed, and from the in the type 2A context, but from the M theory point of view, the moduli are the size of the S3 and the period of the three-form potential through it. So again, classically, connecting the three phases requires you to pass through the singularity. However, quantum mechanically, on the basis of holomorphy alone, you expect the singularities to be in codimension 1 at worst. And of course, type 2A geometry receives discontinuum corrections, which are responsible for smoothing out the geometry. From the M theory point of view, these are membrane instantons on S3. And using mirror symmetry, one can sum these up exactly. So the B model mirror of this is given as follows, and then there's an associated Riemann surface. There are three asymptotic regions of the Riemann surface. So for example, which are given by u goes to infinity and v is approximately zero, or v goes to infinity as u is approximately zero, and so forth. And clearly, u should be identified by with the volume of the S3 in phase 1, and v by the with the volume of the S3 in phase 2, and so forth. And this phase is sort of hard to interpret directly, classically. Okay, so furthermore, topological B model disk partition function computes the superpotential of type 2A string theory on X with a D6 brain, and it computes in this case, superpotential of M theory on M7. So the superpotential, again, is given by the Abel-Jacobi map, where I modified it by addition of linear terms, which don't affect the, by a linear term in V, which doesn't affect the topological string amplitudes. So the Riemann surface sigma is just the space of all vacua very this with respect to V, you see that the Riemann surface is a space of all vacua as the parameters, the U naught of the theory are varied. Okay, so this is actually all I really wanted to say. Here, I mean, obviously one can generalize this to more complicated manifolds by replacing X by some general Calabi-Yau manifold, putting more D6 brains and so forth. And that's actually all I wanted to tell you. We'll have a lunch with you. Are there any more questions? Yeah.
You had some charge condition that the brain should be Lagrangian, and then you rewrote that in mirror symmetry.
Right.
Some of the charges trying to kill.
Yeah, I guess I didn't even do this in detail here, yes. But,
So the mirror fields were the real part of them was known to be some absolute value square.
Right.
But what about the imaginary part of that equation?
It's essentially fixed by holomorphy. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you know what happens, what is the mirror of the real part. And this map, which you get from the linear sigma model, is valid in the large radius limit, right, where the distance and the corrections are suppressed, and the rest is entirely fixed by holomorphy.
Another question? Okay, thank you.